the Renegade Jason Ray Welch, Devils in the Whiskey, and, well, I just happen to have him. Well, he's not sitting right beside me, but it's kind of sound like he is. What's going on, brother?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, we've been chatting off here. We got all the small talk out of the way, so we're good to go now. So, how you been?
Been doing good. Been doing good. Trying to get a lot of, you know, the game. I started back up and got the new single out and just been kind of busy.
Yeah, you've been a busy guy. I gotta admit, I talk about Music Mafia Radio fans and artists every night on every show, as a matter of fact. And I don't know that a day goes by that you don't have something to share with us, whether it be a show or music or upcoming music or something like that. You've definitely been busy. And let's see, where do we even start? I know where we'll start. Let's start with let's talk about Issa first.
Okay.
Everybody sees, you know, everything that's going on Facebook with Issa and sees the stuff from Tammany and from you and from some of the other Issa admins. But why don't you give folks an idea of how much work you guys are putting in behind the scenes that they probably don't see?
Well, most of the work is done by the founder and our awesome leader, Tammany Dove. She's always kicking ass doing something with either registering new members or working on something else like the Roku TV channel that we now have. She's got a lot of stuff in the fire right now, so.
Yeah, but you got a little something going on once a month too.
I do. Every second Tuesday of the month down here in the Myrtle Beach area, a place called Surfside Beach, just south of Myrtle Beach, I have the Issa Singer-Songwriters in the Round, which you guys come down for last time with Cliff Wheeler and his son Garrett.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. We were talking about it off air, but it's kind of like the family getting together, a little mini family reunion once a month for you, for sure. But yeah. It's JB's Jerk Shack, right?
JB's Jerk Shack, yeah. And they have, on Tuesdays is Taco Tuesday, but it's a Jerk Shack twist to it, like a Caribbean twist to the Taco Tuesday thing. They got awesome food.
They definitely have awesome food. I remember the burger that I had. It was outstanding. So with the Singer-Songwriters Round, in addition to that, I've been noticing that the Renegade's been out doing a couple of shows on his own, as a matter of fact. So are things starting to loosen up down there in the Myrtle Beach area as far as venue availability and the ability to get out and share your music with folks?
Yeah, it is. Finally, last year we was waiting on the album to get finished before we started gigging, and then COVID hit after the album was released. So now it's starting to, you know, the restrictions are starting to go away. So we've been playing the JB's Jerk Shack, of course. We've been playing the Wild Horse. We got some more gigs coming up. And I think as of Monday, something like that, our governor has lifted the alcohol restriction. It was at 11 o'clock, so now it's business as normal. So, like my gigs at the Wild Horse Food and Spirits, which used to be the Wild Horse Saloon, will now go to 8 to midnight. So I was getting used to, you know, 6 to 10. Or grabbing a bike and going to bed early. But
oh, man. I won't tell. I won't. The thought going through my head is, yeah, that's like the senior citizen set right there. 6 to 10.
Right.
6 to 10 and your eyes are half closed on the way home just because you just want to, get something to eat and go to bed. So that's cool. So, you know, I haven't had the opportunity yet to see a full-blown Jason Ray Welch show. So what's your mix of covers versus your stuff typically when you do like a 4-hour show like that?
Well, unfortunately, when you do play out, especially in the Myrtle Beach area, they like a lot of covers because that's what, you know, people get drunk to. That's what they dance to. That's what they know until you're out there and they know your material. So I usually do 3, 4, 5 cover songs and then throw in an original. So I might, you know, do about 15 originals throughout the 4-hour night.
That's not bad, though.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And dude, I can get drunk to your songs, too. Matter of fact, they might have been in the mix once or twice, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
So is the music scene starting to really come back down there? And again, I mean, it's not like I'm in Colorado and we're thousands of miles apart. I've kind of got an idea, but you're definitely, you know, Myrtle Beach is one of those music hotspots for the area. And you're certainly much closer to it than I am because you're right there. Is it really starting to loosen up a lot?
It is. There is a lot of entertainers in the Grand Strand area. That's what the Myrtle Beach area is called, the Grand Strand. And, you know, you can find everything from what we play, you know, the country, outlaw country, traditional country sound, to rockabilly, heavy metal, jazz, blues. It, you know, if you want to hear it, it's around here. And there's probably hundreds of bands trying to get booked on a daily basis around here.
Yeah, but there's enough venues. If you're good enough, you can probably get those recurring gigs. But you just made me think of another question. And I know that you grew up around country because your mom was a songwriter.
Right.
Have you spent your whole career playing country, or have you had periods where you did something else?
Well, when I was growing up, I started playing music in 1992. I'm 41 years old, so I was 12 years old at the time. And your long time listeners might remember this from an old interview, but I was on the road in a tour bus going all around the country singing gospel music, Southern gospel music, with my family at an early age. We actually put out 3 albums and, you know, was booked solid every weekend. So.
And so other than that, once that passed, you settled into your renegade role.
Yeah. I mean, I've tried other genres. It really didn't stick. So, I always kept going back to what I was raised on, which was like George Jones, Waylon Jennings, Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, stuff like that. So I was always into, you know, the outlaw country and the traditional country. And like I said, just kept going back to that. So that's what I've been doing for, I don't know, past while now.
Yeah. A little bit, but there's a reason you went back to it. I mean, your voice is just perfectly suited for that outlaw stuff. And so you're the one that I'm going to ask this question to, and there are very few people I would ask this to, but you know, define what I would consider to be classic country and outlaw country in your brain. You know, what makes something classic country and what makes something outlaw?
Well, the classic country, I think, is borderline really for the outlaw country, because back then it wasn't mainstream, and that's what a lot of the music is today. But to be classic country, you know, it's that steel guitar and it's the fiddle and it's a story. You know, the song and the lyrics tells a story. And for outlaw country, it's against the mainstream of what Nashville's producing, and just doing your own thing. So to me, outlaw and classic kind of go hand in hand, because I mean, Hank Williams Sr. was the first outlaw country person out there, you know?
Yeah. Man, and that was perfect too. And you hit on all my favorite instruments when you were talking about classic country. There's a story that we'll tell about the new single when we get to that. You kind of teased me a little bit before you sent it over. So you know, I definitely hear the outlaw influences in your music. And so you mentioned, you know, if there was a Mount Rushmore of outlaw country, you just filled it up. But if there was any one artist that you were to say was like the biggest influence on what you do, who would that be?
Actually, the biggest influence with my music, I would have to say Keith Whitley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was an amazing songwriter, an amazing vocalist. And I mean, he was just an amazing artist all around.
Wow. I never would have come up with his name, but you know what? That makes a lot of sense. As I think about his music and I think about your music. Yeah. Wow. Okay. My mind's blown. All right. So, let's see, a little bit more than a year ago, you, released the album, Right the Wrongs.
Yep.
And how long did it take you to put that together?
A year, actually. We would do a song every week, and sometimes it would take, of course, more than a few times going to actually get what we wanted. So we'd have to redo it or something like that. So there was 13 songs on the album, and I had written all of them but three. And so including the writing and the arrangement of the music and stuff, we kind of, it just took a year. Just to say that, it just took a year.
Yeah, because I'm trying to remember, did the first two singles come out the year prior?
Yes, 2019.
Man, it's been 2 years. Wow. Yeah, you can tell I'm getting old, because I'm thinking everything was like a year ago, but it really wasn't, because we got Lies in You a little bit more than 2 years ago. Wow. Man, and that's kind of cool. It's cool.
Time's just flew by.
Man, it has, and that means I must be having fun at some level. But you mentioned it. You released the album, and then you know you're preparing. I know you're getting the band together and preparing to promote the album live, and then COVID hit.
Right.
Now, tell tell everybody, I mean, how do you not let that just take all the steam out of the engine and make you throw your hands up in the air and say, yeah, I'm done?
Well, I would have to say the love of a good woman.
Good answer.
My better half, Miss Debbie Cooper, Minnie Coop, she every time I would think about that and I would verbally say, I'm done, I give up, I can't do this, everything's against us, and she would say, oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're going to keep doing it because you love it. So,
well, and
Debbie Cooper had a major part in that.
Well, and I will say hi, darling, because I know she's listening. And she can scare me a little bit sometimes. So I get it, brother. I definitely get it. It's nice that you have that level of support. And it's important. I can't remember who I was talking to, but I asked the same question to somebody else here in the last week or so. Another artist. And the answer was pretty much the same. It was with that for them. It was really, you know, family, friends, and fans telling them to just keep going, that we get to the other side. And it looks like slowly we're getting there. I'm still not convinced that this summer is going to be normal by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm holding out hope that the outdoor venues, at least, will be able to gather enough folks to make it worthwhile for guys like you to get out and play your music and get some new fans.
Right.
So
there's a major outdoor venue or, you know, outdoor festival coming up in September that you guys have to come down for.
Which
it's it goes to benefit disabled veterans and different veteran organizations, and it's a partnership between VetFest Carolinas, which I played last year, and my new sponsor, Gone Country Hats. They're working together for this festival, and there's over, what was it? It's over 40 artists over a 3-day period is going to perform.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. All
independent artists besides one, which is going to be the main act on Sunday night.
Yeah, but that's all right. They can play on Sunday night. I'll just listen to music on Friday and Saturday and most of Sunday.
Well, good, because I'm scheduled on Sunday.
Oh, we'll definitely have to check that out, because, you know, you've listened enough to know that I've been whining for a whole year about not being able to get any live music. And now it's funny. And for folks that don't live in the area, you and I can talk about this. I'm just absolutely amazed. You kind of already hit on it, in the fact that there, you know, hundreds of great acts in the Myrtle Beach area in South Carolina, period. But I'm just absolutely amazed at all the talent that there is in the Carolinas and in Georgia. Nashville goes without saying, because that's where everybody goes. Well, used to go. I don't know if they're going there anymore. But, it's incredible to get here and really see firsthand just how much great music there is. And with the songwriters round that you're doing, an opportunity for folks to get together and do stuff. But I'm really looking forward to this summer and being able to get out and see you and a bunch of, I mean, we've got a bunch of artists in the library that are within spitting distance of here. So I can't.
As you and Fitty chose the place to be.
I think we did, because, you know, you guys, it's, you know, an hour on a good day. Wilmington's only 45 minutes away. Raleigh's not that far off. Nashville's a day trip. If we wanted to take a day trip down into the Panhandle, we could do that. And I mean, yeah, all kinds of music, music, music. All right, you hit. Right, go ahead.
If you're into like folk music, Asheville, not Nashville, but Asheville, up in North Carolina, is a great place. The Isis Music Hall up there is a great place to hear a lot of independent artists up that way too.
Well, what I'm looking forward to, and I don't think I've talked to you about this, but I'm looking forward to hearing some real bluegrass too.
I love me some bluegrass.
Oh, dude, when we were here for the first time 2 years ago, we went into Southport and we were walking around with Cliff and Mel, and out in this park I can't remember if it was three or four guys just jamming on some bluegrass, and to the point where I think I stood there for 25 minutes, maybe a half an hour, just listening to it. I had no idea who they were. All I know is it sounded really good. I love me some bluegrass. When we went to Nashville for the first time, we went to Country Music Hall of Fame. I stood in front of Bill Monroe's mandolin for probably 15 minutes just looking at it, because I knew that's where it all started, was with that mandolin that I'm looking at right there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And that's, I think, why I enjoy your music so much, because there are some bluegrass elements there. I mean, you talked about it before with the classic country, with the pedal steel and mandolin and the fiddle and all of that. I hear some of those bluegrass influences in your stuff as well. And I think I even told you at the songwriters round, you played Running Out of Steam, and you did it a little bit more. You did it at a little bit quicker tempo than the album. And I was sitting there, and I could hear Hootenanny fiddles in the background throughout that whole song.
He told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that your music, that's what your music does, is it's got that energy that makes it really fun to listen to. And it's one of those things that you could listen. I could listen to 4 hours of Jason Ray Walsh, because I know it's going to be fun. And, if I get 15 of your songs in 4 hours, I'm cool. I won't.
Yeah. The rest of the songs is like 80s and 90s, early 2000s country. So that's that classic country coming in on it. We do everything from Johnny Paycheck to Keith Whitley. We do even some southern rock, like some Georgia Satellites and some Kentucky Headhunters and stuff like that.
Cool. All right, you hit on something before when you were talking about the festival that's coming up and the fact that it's benefiting disabled vets. You know, I talked about your work with ISA. You're also, from what I see on social media, at least, pretty involved in what are the words I'm looking for? Helping veterans. I guess that's probably the best way I can put it. You know, we all know you're a vet yourself.
Right.
Suffered some pretty horrific injuries while you were on your last tour. But what are some of the things that you're doing to help out the disabled vet community?
Well, right now I'm actually in talks with the Wounded Warrior Project and the Wounded Warrior Program, which is done by Justin Ray Williams. They got an album coming out to benefit the disabled veterans. It's and I believe it's all the music, if I'm not mistaken, is made by veterans on the album. I don't like quote me for that, but it's the South Carolina Music Hall of Fame, which is over that. But I got, I've been working with the K-9 Angels. That's where I got my service dog from. So they do training for dogs, service dogs for disabled veterans solely. So, which Maxie is trying to get up in my lap right now, and I got the computer in my lap. So she don't what baby what daddy's busy anyways the Vet Fest last year was the main thing that I've done with the veterans last year. Now if there's any veterans out there that see what I post or hear me at a show or whatever and come up and talk to me about substance abuse or something, which is rampant in our veteran community. There's also one that the Leathernecks MC just booked me for September also here. That'll be at JB's Turk Shack, and it goes for the veteran suicide. It goes to benefit the veteran suicide programs, like 22 a day and stuff like that.
Man, that is just it's cool. It's sad that we have to put so much attention to it. And you mentioned it. I mean, suicide and substance abuse does run rampant in our veteran community, and that breaks my heart, because I mean these are men and women that were willing to sacrifice their life so that I could. Well, so that I can do what I'm doing right now, as a matter of fact. But brother, I'm so happy and I'm so proud that you're willing to have those talks with our veterans and hopefully help them out in some small way. And you're working with some great organizations. Those of you that are listening, most of you don't know, but you know, Fitty and I had the chance to meet Maxie here a couple of months ago, and besides being like one of the coolest dogs on the planet, I can say from what I from a distance away, I see what a tremendous help she's been to you in a lot of different ways, I was happy when you announced that was going through. I'm even happier now seeing the end result of it. And you guys make quite the pair, as a matter of fact.
Thank you. She's my baby for sure. She's definitely, she's either stuck up my butt 24/7 or, you know, if she's not with me, then she's with Debbie. And so I've never seen a dog have two masters, two alphas. But she, if she's not taking care of me and loving on me, she's over there with her mom. So
yeah, she is awesome. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play a song. We're going to take a little bit of a break, but when I come back, you got something new that we heard for the first time. When did we play it? I did play it Monday. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. My brain has not been in the right place here the last couple of days. We played it on Monday, but I want you to tell the story behind it. But first, I'm going to play. I already mentioned this song because it's still my favorite. Now you may release five albums, and I don't know that anything is ever going to replace Running Out of Steam for me anyway. So I'm going to play a little Jason Ray Welch for you guys. I've got him on the line. And we'll be back here in a minute. Running Out of Steam, my favorite song. Now, you just said something that I got to follow up on. because I was talking about it and and asked you when you wrote it. You said it was about the middle of the album, and you almost didn't put it on the album. Why the heck wouldn't you put that on the album?
Well, it's like I didn't know whether or not people would be able to, the whole story of the lyrics of the song is about my addiction. It's about, you know, from going from one extreme to the other. And I wasn't sure if people wanted to hear it, you know.
We want to hear it. We want to hear it. And I think it's important that folks do hear it, because folks need to hear that kind of a story. You know, particularly in today's times, probably more than ever. You know, we need to be able to see that that there can be hope that comes out of addiction. Right. And now, how many days were you?
Let me check. I believe 1,066. I believe. Let me check. I got an app on my phone that keeps track for me. 1,066 days. Yeah, I was right.
And you know, congratulations and God bless you for that. You know, one of the things that I've talked about, and I've mentioned it to you more than once, but the further and further you get into your recovery and your sobriety, I can hear it in your voice. Every time something new comes out, I can hear it in your voice. And so, you know, we're all better off because you've chosen sobriety over the life that you were leading prior to that. And it leads to some really cool stuff, including your latest single, The Long Way Home. And there's a story behind that, and you're going to be able to tell it much better than I did on Monday.
Well, I actually told it, I think you first heard the story when I told it at Singer Songwriters Night when you was there. But we was sitting here watching TV, like, you know, in my easy chair, Maxie's on my lap. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Debbie. She's on the couch. I see her pick up a pad of paper and a pen. And she just starts writing stuff down. So after a few minutes, I look over. I said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she says to me, "I'm writing a song." "Oh, you're writing a song? Okay." And she says, "And it's about your life." "Okay, right on." So it takes her a total of 5 minutes. And she hands me the song, and I'm like, 5 minutes. Okay. What is this going to be like, you know? And she had never written a song before. So, I get to looking at it and I like it. And then, man, I love it. And so, actually, I had put it on the table and said, I'll put some music to it. I'll see what I can do with it. Well, a couple days go by, and see, when I was injured in Iraq, I had traumatic brain injury, and I had to have a brain surgery. So my memory is like 5 minute memory. And so a few days goes by, and it's sitting there on the coffee table, and she says, "Are you going to do anything with that song or what?" So I call over my guitarist and that day, and me and him arranged the music on it. And somehow, you know, with her lyrics and just, I guess the songwriter in us all, come out and said, "No, it has to be like this. It has to be haunting. It has to be have that classic feel to it." And well, you know, when you guys hear the song, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's feels like making you cry at the beginning. I think, you know, that's what I was going for, anyways.
Yeah, it definitely has that, and you know it. To me, it's really cool. I mean, you guys have become a songwriting team. On top of everything else, you've now become a songwriting team. She's your Bernie Taupin.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the songs on the album was actually, she was my muse for that, such as Lies in You and Right the Wrongs and If I Could Give You the Moon. A lot of the songs was about Debbie or in a roundabout way about Debbie. So,
well, I know we just took a break, but we've been talking about it. We're gonna take another break because I want everybody to hear this one again. So here's Jason Ray Welch, his latest single, The Long Way Home. It was released on Monday. And
ISA Records.
On ISA. Oh, that's right. On ISA Records. I of all the ISA stuff, that's the one thing that I always forget about because there's just so much stuff going on with ISA. It's available on ISA Records. I'm going to tell you, you know, get out there and buy a copy. Here it is. Here's Jason Ray Welch with The Long Way Home. And there it is, The Long Way Home. And I got so caught up in your story telling how the song came together, I forgot to tell everybody my story. So, Jason mentions he's got a new single coming out. And of course, I'm excited. I'm excited at that point because I wanted something new. And I think I even told you in a message somewhere, it's nice to have something new from you so that we can kind of get you relevant back here at the station with something new. And he said to me, you're really going to like it. I got some pedal steel in it. And dude, you know, he knows how to push my buttons. Let me put it that way. And the good buttons, not the bad buttons, the good buttons. Because I heard that and I was telling him off air. So I listened to it the first time, and you just heard it. It's some incredible pedal steel guitar. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to get a couple of breaks, and this is going to be really kind of cool. And then I hear it throughout the whole thing, and it's like, man, he said pedal, but he didn't say that much pedal. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, Mr. Dean Black did an amazing job on that pedal steel on that song.
Well, and I'm going to go back to what we were talking about on the air. You are hands down, in terms of our country artists, you are hands down probably the most tasteful in terms of the instrumentation behind the vocals and the lyrics. Everything just works out absolutely perfect on every single song. And that's a skill. To me, that's a skill to be able to arrange and orchestrate in a way that's clean, but has those moving pieces underneath that fit in with the mood of the song, create the mood of the song, and work seamlessly with the vocals. I mean, there aren't many people that can do that, brother.
Well, I've been blessed and honored to have an amazing team in and out of the studio to work with, as far as the instrumentation and the production, the recording, all that, of the instruments not competing with the lyrics to tell the story of the song. So.
Yeah. All right. And Rose reminded me of something, and here I am. I'm just going to take like a hard right turn here, because you're up for the ISA Traditional Country Artist of the Month.
I am. Go and vote for me, people.
ISASongwriters.com. ISSASongwriters.com. Go over and give the Renegade a vote. I can't remember how Tammany's got that set up, but
it's ISASongwriters.com/vote.
Oh, okay. She makes it really easy. You see, I would come
go to the menu and choose the ISA monthly award.
Yeah, I got to admit, I've been really bad. I haven't hit the ISA site in a while, but I wanted to talk about the International Singer Songwriters Association, and this kind of draws away from you a little bit, but I mean we're both members, right. And I mean, I think it was the day after Tammany created ISA, she sent me a message going, will you support this? And it's like, yeah, okay. Because, you know, she's like my my kid's sister. I can support this, but what an amazing vehicle that has been for artists to gain exposure. And and I'm trying to remember, I mean, did we all hook up originally?
Excuse me.
Was it through ISA?
Well, Debbie knew you guys, but we hooked up through y'all's ISA hour.
Okay. All right. Well, and you see, and I mean, and I can go up and down the list of artists that we have in rotation and pick out. You know, I say we've got over 200 on Bandcamp. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we've got a couple of hundred that are members of the International Singer-Songwriters Association. So let's put your admin role off to the side. Why don't you talk a little bit about the benefits that you've seen as an artist by being a member of the International Singer-Songwriters Association?
Okay, yeah. Definitely, hands down, the number one benefit that I see is camaraderie. There's people always in the group that's cheering one another on, whether it, and giving each other advice, whether it be with song lyrics or copyright information, metadata, you know, just different stuff about the industry, or you know, getting on different radio stations such as MMR, and just networking the different resources such as the new Roku ISA TV channel. There's always a lot going on with ISA as far as benefits goes. And you know, there's gonna, you know, once the nation opens back up, of course, there's gonna be, you know, meet and greets, and I'm expecting other people in other areas that's ISA members to start doing the ISA singers, songwriters in the round in their area. So there's so much that ISA can do if you use it correctly. And you know, it was all a vision of Tammany Dove, you know, and she is an amazing artist, an amazing songwriter, an amazing person, period. You know, she does it and you know, and she ain't trying to get rich, you know, by ISA or anything. She doesn't charge nobody for, you know, anything in the group. There, you know, there shouldn't be a charge for because we're not trying to take advantage of any of the independent artists, because we're independent artists ourselves. So
yeah,
that's the way it is.
And you know, and that's an important part too, is you know, all the benefits that you mentioned, and probably a few more that we're both forgetting. I mean, that it's all a freebie. It's all a freebie. And it's been really cool to have been there since day one and just watch this thing take off. You know, we all got together in 2019 in Atlanta.
At the ISA Awards. Yeah, that's another benefit I didn't just mention. But yeah, the ISA Awards.
Well, it was I think it's a benefit for everybody, and the awards are great. The you know, I can't complain. We won an award that year. but really, I think what that did more than anything else is it helped cement that community that was there, because we all got to. I mean, it was the first time we met face to face, and you know, I can go down the whole long list of folks that I got to meet in person. For the first time, and you know, we weren't able to do it last year because of COVID, but we had fun with the virtual awards, and right. we'll see what happens this year. But I can tell you right now, the first opportunity that this group has to get back together again, buckle your seatbelts, folks, because we're ready to for all the hugging and handshakes and all of that stuff to happen all over again. It was, it was awesome. We had a great time, and I'm, you're scheduled for what, pre-party?
Pre-party, that's right. 45 minute to an hour set at the pre-party at Wild Wings. Wild Wings Cafe, I think, is where she's going to have it again. A different location, same place, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be off the hook, man. Doing a 45 minute set in front of all my peers. I'm going to be so nervous before I go on. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
And you're not going to be allowed to play a single damn cover either.
I know it's going to be all original music. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh no, I think you can. I think you can probably pull it off, my brother. I think you can probably pull it off. All right, I'm trying to think if there was anything else that we needed. Well, I guess I can ask this. What's in the works? What's next for Jason Ray Welch?
What's next? I would say getting out and getting booked in places that I've been meaning to get booked in. Getting out there and meeting the fans, the followers, getting past this whole COVID thing and start living again. So the live music can happen again. And then once we're established again, go back into the writing process and start writing for the next album.
Cool. Have you had any thoughts about, I'm trying to figure out how this would work, because you talked about you released Right the Wrongs in anticipation of being able to go out and promote it last summer. Have you thought about, I don't even know that re-release is the right word, but have you thought about doing kind of like here's an old album that I'm making new again, kind of push?
I have, actually. I don't know how you knew that, but I'd actually released Right to Wrongs through Mission Control Records, which was the label of the recording studio that I recorded it at. And now that I'm with ISO Records, I was thinking of redistributing it through ISO Records and remastering it.
Yeah, and you know, that might be kind of cool, because now you guys, which song was it that you did at the Songwriters Round that you come up with another verse on?
Oh, that's Devils in the Whiskey, actually.
Right. Okay.
When you played at first, yeah.
Yeah. I think we heard it for the first time, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was the first time I performed it, yeah.
But you know, and that might be kinda cool, is to kinda push the album again. Going into summer gig season, and you've got the new single, which I'm gonna anticipate is gonna do pretty damn well on its own, just because it's awesome. We'll have to talk offline about that. I may have some ideas for that. All right. So do you have any shows coming up here in the near future?
Yeah, I do. I've got a few. It's still scarce right now. But I do have a new marketing and promotion person that has so inventive marketing and promotions that's doing a lot of my bookings right now. So just getting with them, they're starting to get me bookings. But I'll be back at the Wild Horse in Merle's Inlet April 2nd, and I'll be back there May 21st. JB's Dirk Shack, I'll be there March 19th, I believe. I don't know. My schedule is on my website at renegadejasonraywelch.com. You can go there and find everything Renegade, whether it be merchandise or the album, anything and everything.
Cool. Well, and we'll get to all of the places they can get to you in a minute, but I'm going to put in a plug for the album right now. Right the Wrongs is, if you're a country music fan, I'm going to guarantee you that those are 13 songs. There's not a weak one on the album. There are 13 songs there that you're absolutely going to love. So you get out there and get a copy of it. And then while you're at it, you can get a copy of The Long Way Home and have like all of it. So why don't you tell folks all the like social media, website and stuff like that, how they can get a hold of you.
RenegadeJasonRayWells.com. I have all my social media links on there as well. But you can get a copy of the album or the new single on all major digital download or streaming platforms, including iTunes and Amazon, all of the goodies ones. So,
okay, cool. Very, very cool. And what was it? You said something and it ran. Oh, and congratulations for the shortest stint in Facebook jail that I think I've ever seen.
I know, right? Five minutes.
Well, I was freaking out a little bit because it's like, I saw the Facebook jail thing before I read what was up on top of it. And I'm thinking, well, crap, we're doing an interview tonight. How am I going to get a hold of him? And then I read the whole thing. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Five minutes in Facebook jail. God.
Yeah. I thought I messed up like majorly. I by sending too many invites to people on Messenger to vote for me during the monthly poll on ISA for the gold record. What? And, so they gave me 5 minute timeout.
Between you and Juke, it's hard keeping track of who's in Facebook jail and who's
I don't know. I haven't been in Facebook jail for quite a while now. But Juke Johnson, he's in there. My buddy Juke Johnson, he's in there quite a bit.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, and it's tough. It's like, all right, which profile are we using today?
Right.
All right, my brother. I've had a blast. I mean, it's always fun to get together. But it's cool to be able to sit down and talk music with you. And, you know, Rick's had the pleasure of doing it with you a couple of times. This is the first time I've had a chance to do it on air. So thank you for that.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and I can't wait. We're going to have to look. We'll have to look and see what we can fit in terms of getting down there and catching one of those 4-hour sets of Jason Ray Welch, too.
Yeah, at the Wild Horse Food and Spirits, man. You'll absolutely love that place.
Oh, I haven't been in a place yet down here that I didn't like. Yeah, the food's great. The alcohol pretty much all tastes the same everywhere. I finally figured that out. Fitty says Facebook jail. That's why Jason is a renegade. Oh God! All right. So, let's see. I'll give them some stuff. You hang out with me because we'll say goodbye off the air. But again, thank you so much for taking some time out to chat with me, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me. And it's been a blast with you, man.
All right. Well, so for you guys, here's yet some more Jason Ray Welch.